Welcome to the Astrocast, a monthly podcast from Numinous resident astrologers Bess Matassa and Sandy Citron.
Hi Numiverse, it's Bess Matassa
and Sandy Citron,
and we're here washing upon the shores of Cancer season 2018. We joined you last season for Gemini Energies, where we explored all sorts of multifaceted perspectives on our lives and how to work with mutable, shifting, adaptive energy of that season. And now we're washing onto these epic shores for a celebration of cardinal water energy. And so we're going to dive into both the overview of the astrological season ahead, the large themes, the large kinds of energies, potentials, and challenges that are available to us during this astrological season, and then take a look week by week at what's coming up specifically by astrological transit and how this theme is going to play out as the season goes on week by week. So, Sandy, when you were first taking a look at our Cancer season charts, what was firing for you?
So I was thinking that this is like a big game of Jenga. and maybe that's a really nice way of looking at it. Maybe that's a very positive view, because there is some tough energy from June 21st, which is the beginning of Cancer season, all the way through to July 22nd. There's some tough energy. We've got our first of the eclipses, which is pretty cool. We're going to get into the nitty gritty, but just to kind of share with you my overall symbology, I'm talking Jenga because there's a sense of futility, but there's also a sense of play and closeness that can be achieved. And you're going to need some structure, and you're going to need to work with the objects at hand. And there's also, you know, you might feel like you're on the brink of transformation with this energy as well, where things could topple, or you could just move that one piece and you could win.
Oh my God. I'm so glad that you said Jenga and not a game of Operation. Do you remember the Operation game? That was my most dreaded game as a child. So Jenga, obviously a challenging game as well, but thankfully we're not getting those like buzzer sounds when we hit the edge of the organs in Operation. It's really interesting that you're talking about a certain degree of containment, because the first visual I had, and it was coupled with the soundtrack, and I think we've discussed on this podcast before, Bananarama, I think it was during Taurus season, for Venus, the song Venus. But the first song that sparked me, and it sparked in a physicalized environment, was Cruel Summer. And, you know, just like before we go too hard with that.
We're both so mean.
there's some lines in that song that are basically like, you know, leaving me here on my own. It's a cruel summer. And the visual that I got was almost like a solo dinner in one of those restaurants. And maybe it's in, I think I've experienced it in Disney World and in Vegas, you know, two slightly different landscapes, or maybe not, but where there are like these seafood restaurants where, or maybe it doesn't have to be seafood specifically, but there's like built-in walls where it's like an aquarium. It's almost like you're in a submarine and there's like tanks, fish tanks in the walls, or maybe even on the floor. So it's like you're in a submarine. And it feels to me like there's a lot of like feelings of like, it's almost like the three phrases I kept thinking about were loss of innocence, and the second being how do we tend to our tenderness in that process, and then how do we like basically sit with our own softness. And the word protection and the word exposure were like huge to me for this season. But the thing, the image of sitting in that restaurant, it's almost like, sorry, I'm just going to go on like a little bit of a rampage here for a minute.
Super curious. It's
the feeling, and it's a very specific feeling, and it doesn't need to mean that this astrological season ahead is like going to signal anything specific to like romantic breakup or like a situation coming up in your life. But it's almost that feeling after a breakup or in the throes of a breakup where you realize that you're actually alone with your feelings and that you're going to have to validate your own experience of this relationship's importance in your life. And So it's almost that feeling of a certain degree of being able to sit in our own softness and validate our own feeling landscapes and like say yes to whatever's arising and be our own witnesses, and rather than extending to other people for the validation of whether our feelings are right, whether they actually happened, whether they're, you know, whatever the case is. So it was that kind of sense of like almost witnessing being in that solo restaurant and like looking at all these sort of aquatic feeling landscapes behind the glass and being in some ways the only witness of those and what that kind of brings up for you.
So beautiful. Yeah, I love that line of thinking when it comes to cancers. And I can think of my Cancer moon friends, and maybe this is a good example of how we all kind of need to be, or maybe we will be in this Cancer season. My Cancer moon friend who gets her feelings hurt, and her reaction is to say, I just need to work with this on my own for a minute. Mm. And then I'll come back and we can talk about it. And that's that kind of shell coming up, and that personal processing of thinking about the feelings, playing them through, paying attention to them, listening to them, giving self-care, giving tender nurturance, saying what they are to yourself. Mm-hmm. And then coming back to that other person and saying, here's what was going on with me, let's address it. But it's a very different kind of energy than what, and I'm not saying that anything here is right or wrong. I'm just saying this is the Cancer experience. And for about a month, we're all going to be in a Cancer experience. So
sounds like a ride.
We're on the Cancer ride. Yeah. So if you can see the opportunities to, I love the way you painted that picture of that solo dinner in the aquarium restaurant. So if you can tend to yourself, be in the fluid flow, be in the wavy waves, be in the emotion ocean, and tend to yourself, things will go well because you've taken the first step of tending to yourself, and then any intervention or altercation or interaction that you get into, you've already done that work of giving yourself a hug first.
Yeah. It's really like, and it's almost like paradoxical in some ways on the surface that we think about Cancer being this, you know, deeply watery, emo kind of vibration. And then we think about cardinal energy being, you know, directed sort of what we might think of as yang kind of force in the world. But it's really like, can we operate from the force of our feelings, you know, in a conscious way? And, you know, there's a lot that, you know, we're going to get into with like Mars retro and like willpower and how that kind of like manifests. But, you know, how can we like operate from a place of softness, from a place of clear softness that's like no less correct? I don't know. There's a lot around like kind of what we consider to be hard and soft or like valid ways of making things happen in the world. And so I love what you're saying about like your Cancer moon friends. And it's been definitely my experience as well. And my Cancer moon mother as well. And it's a whole other story. But this sense of like a movement that is, it's not a mutable energy where we're like shimmering out like last season, but it's, there's definitely a rhythm to Cancer. It's like almost that tidal rhythm of like retreat and process, push out into the world, retreat and process, push out into the world from like that deep intuitive core. So I love that feeling of kind of this like loop of response and reactivity and like internal processing, and then, you know, kind of releasing again. It almost puts me in the mind of like the experience when you're like at the edge of the ocean, you're sort of being pulled, you know, you're sort of like riding with the tide, and then you like kind of drift into shore and like share something, deposit something, and then you're back out, you know. So I really like that image.
That's so beautiful. It makes me think of like giving yourself the space to retreat and come forward. Because we expect ourselves in a purely yang world, we expect ourselves to be able to show up every day at the same time with the same sunny smile and do the job we're supposed to do. But in this season, can you work in some room so that there are the moments where you can flow back into the sea so that way when you come forward to deposit some more shells on the beach and some more seaweed on the beach, that deposit feels in alignment and integrated and like you've got enough energy for it. Because as we'll talk about with the Mars retrograde, energy will be running a little bit differently than it normally does.
It puts me in the mind of something I read recently about, and I don't remember the specific terms, but it was something about like action, true action versus like busyness. It's like there's action at a soul level happening during this season that may not look to you like what you're used to in terms of like accomplishment or like direct manifestation in the physical world, or just sort of be attuned and be open to all of the ways in which things are actioning and things are moving. And like, you know, it's almost like, there's like movement happening that is, it's almost like I'm like visualizing something like beneath the surface of, not like some sort of surfacing where like odd shapes are like sort of like moving and kind of moving in the dark, you know, it's almost like watching things like move in the dark and you're not quite sure what the things are yet. Like we haven't flipped on the lights yet. And maybe you're like imagining what some of those things could be. And maybe they're scarier than what you imagine, than what the reality is, but like letting yourself expand the concept of what you think of as action and movement, and knowing that things are wiggling in mysterious ways.
So speaking of mystery, should we dive into the first week of this experience?
Yeah.
The first.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Good.
So another little lovely treasure that we've haven't mentioned yet is that Cancer season is also coincident, contemporaneous with the summer solstice. So this is the longest day of light in the Northern Hemisphere and the shortest day of light in the Southern Hemisphere. So we're sort of crossing over. It's splitting the calendar year in two. But it's also astrologically, if we look at the kind of wheel of the year astrologically, beginning with Aries season, we're also at a developmental shift with the summer solstice. We're at the first, we're at the base of the chart. If you look at all the kind of houses of the chart, we're at the kind of midnight hour, you know, sort of spiritually, energetically of the chart. And we're beginning to kind of calibrate and figure out what like process, like what has gone down this year so far. How do we kind of like take a moment of retreat, you know, this kind of like washing back to ourselves. And it's really this powerful moment where it's the first water sign that we're presented with in the astrological year. So this is the initiation of our feeling nature, a super, super powerful kind of threshold moment in our development as beings over the course of the astrological year.
Yeah, as you're talking about that, makes me think that if you started your year, some of us now are starting, kind of having our new years in alignment with the astrological new year when Aries season begins. Mm-hmm. So if that's you, this could be a great opportunity to just check in emotionally with those goals and how you've been putting yourself forward out into the world. This is a time to create some ritual and some ceremony to go within or commune with others and check in with your emotional body and see what's really feeling right and resonant, what's feeling aligned, emotionally aligned, spiritually aligned, intuitively aligned as you move forward on your path.
Yeah, this beautiful kind of like tucking into your, whatever your safe space is, you know, you can imagine sort of like, you know, potential childhood spaces of like tree houses or like, where did you go to read or where did you go to like, you know, kind of connect with yourself when you were younger, you know, maybe it was like literally getting inside of a closet or, you know, something where you're almost like it's offering you this kind of like hideaway, almost energy. And you can do that alone or you can, you know, bring in kind of your trusted crew into your closet or wherever you're going to, you know, sort of stage your celebration. But, you know, a beautiful day to consider this kind of celebration of our own inner worlds.
So we come in strong here. The sun moves into Cancer. We've got Mercury opposite Pluto, which is a big deal. So this is around 21st, 22nd, 23rd, those days, we're coming up against how we need to transform, and we're dealing with themes of control and mm-hmm. letting go. Mm-hmm. And it's all very conscious.
Yeah, it's I feel like there's also like we're in the mix, you know, very much synced up with that energy of Mercury opposite Pluto is this kind of first wave of Neptune retrograde. That's still, you know, Neptune stations retrograde on the 18th, just before we enter Cancer season. But it really feels like, you know, I hate the phrase in some ways that I'm like saying loss of innocence, because innocence is one of my favorite concepts and favorite words. I think it's close to my moon and Leo heart, but there does feel like a sort of reckoning with, it's not even like the reality. It's almost at this point, it's like the falling away of whatever the cherished ideal, you know, was. And Mercury opposite Pluto is very conscious of that falling away. You know, there's a coming to consciousness of the ungripping process, of the thing is already leaving. You know, it's like we talked last season in Gemini season about we can't hang on any longer the way we've been holding, and everything that sort of was awakened through Uranus entering Taurus. And this is like, you know, the next level kind of iteration of that, where it's the things have already, they're like already drifting out to sea, and we're like watching them from the shoreline, and there's a consciousness about that now, and there can be a lot of grief around it, I think, too, and to be able to honor that.
That's so well said. Yeah, it makes me think of a maturation, a maturing, you know, a looking and seeing, like, this is the human experience. This is what it is.
Yeah.
You know.
Oh, geez. All my Pluto oppositions were like, no.
And my Mercury and Scorpio is like, no, this is the human experience. It's all of these different things. Yeah. See them all, know them all. That's how you get the complete picture. That's how you are able to participate in a way that's really rich and not holding on to the things that you didn't need to hold on to because it was a waste of energy.
Yeah, there are those points. It's almost like during this first week, we get flashes of insight. Like, you know, we can think abstractly about like, oh, ungripping, like if I could only ungrip and that would feel better. But we're actually like, we're starting to integrate that into our bodies in like a visceral way during this first week, where we actually get those moments of like, yes, it does feel easier to let this thing die. You know, like a coming to consciousness of that in a way that doesn't excise or, you know, do away with any of the grieving process of whatever is leaving you. And this doesn't need to be like super dramatic. It's not like, oh, if something hasn't left you this first week, it's going to get ripped from your hand, you know. But there's whatever you've been working on, you know, in these cycles of sort of life, death, birth, you know, release, that we're starting to move in the rhythm of it. We're starting to lean in a little bit to it. And, you know, I feel like Neptune's kind of first retrograde moment allows us to both kind of like let those dreams like drift out in their little dream boats and to do them justice in the goodbye, like to have like a little bit of a farewell party, you know, for whatever is departing you right now.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm glad that you're bringing Neptune into this because Neptune is trine Mercury and it's sextile Pluto. So it's definitely the solution. Yeah. So whatever it is you're trying to let go of at this time, or whatever it is that's kind of showing up is like, I don't have the energy to do this anymore this way. Something's got to change. There's some transformation on deck. I can't control it all. There's no reason to try.
Yeah.
The solution is your intuition. The solution is your softness, your faith, mm-hmm. your compassion.
Yeah.
The solution is your compassion.
Yeah. I love that you're bringing up the word compassion because I've been thinking a lot about it in connection too with Venus entering Leo, which it did on the 13th, and it's going to be, you know, for the duration of, well, not the duration of Cancer season, I guess it'll leave on the 9th, and we'll talk about Venus entering Virgo on July 9th. But I've been thinking about the idea of compassion, like the literal word being with passion, you know, it's like literally means, I don't know, I mean, I'm supposing it's like Latin, like with passion, to do with passion. Mm-hmm. And it's like to this feeling of like, you know, recognizing kind of the, I don't know, the process of grieving or releasing or whatever you want to call it. Ultimately it returns us to like the human like passion center and our connectivity with everybody, you know, around us. Cause it's like, if you ever want to like have a moment of, you know, compassion, whatever, it's like walk down a crowded city block when you're in like the middle of heartbreak and look at every single being on the block and say, every single person here has loved and lost. Everyone, you know?
Yeah.
And it's like, so I love what you're saying about Neptune as kind of this solution, you know, because it is, it's, and Venus in Leo is to do with, is to love and live and breathe with passion, you know, with a certain degree of passionate intensity and glitter and sparkle, and that the sparkle can be in the softness of release as well, and in sadness as well, and in like the whole kind of range of emotion.
Yeah, I think, you know, and we kind of already said this, but I'm just going to say it again because now we're into it. We're into it and you're hearing how it feels. That there's got to be space this month. With all this stuff coming up, there's a lot of watery, fluid flow, and you've got to give yourself space. You can't be doing this at breakneck speed. Do mm-hmm. I say this every month? Am I a broken record? Okay, good.
No.
Okay.
No, no.
Because I'm really feeling it this month. So
no, I feel like last month we were at a different clip too.
Okay.
You know,
yeah.
And especially with our last season, you know, with kind of like rising to meet the moment, mm-hmm. you know, and like Mercury feeling like it was sort of accelerating things. And yeah, so no.
Yeah. Okay, good, good. Right, because there's so much fluidity here that it's not all going to be immediately consciously figure outable.
Yeah.
You have to flow with the feelings before you'll know what you want to do or how you want to be within it all.
Yeah.
So what's next? So then Mars goes retrograde. Boom, boom, boom. So this happens about every 2 years. So it's not like the most uncommon thing in the world, but it's not happening every year. So that's important, because when it happens, it's not like we viscerally remember what the last one felt like in our bones. Mm-hmm. We can't really, it was 2 years ago. That's far enough away for the human brain that it was like, this is all new. I've never felt this way before.
Yeah. Yeah.
And what we've got here is a change in the way we're driving our energy. And so for those of you who are like really Scorpio Aries people who are confronting things and driving forward, like you might start to feel like, actually, I need to sit back and watch a little bit more.
Yeah.
And for everyone else, especially the Libras and the Taurus people, the people who are like, no, I'm going to play it cool. I'm not going to be confrontational. You might start to be feeling much more confrontational in a way that isn't necessarily integrated. And so to take note that from Mars is retrograde from June 26th all the way to August 27th. Okay, so taking...
Cruel summer.
Cruel summer. The futility of Jenga.
Yeah. Or fish tank solo dinner.
Right.
Both. All of these things.
All of these things. So looking at this and thinking, okay, this is my instinct of how I want to react right now, but does that serve me? Maybe it's good. Maybe if you're an Aries and you always like run right up to the front of the line, maybe sitting back and looking and waiting is going to be really good for you right now.
Yeah. It feels like, you know, it connects to this feeling, that we were speaking about earlier of, you know, connected to the cardinal force of Cancer, you know, this kind of cardinal water energy. What does that mean? And, you know, it's almost like, the difference, and not that we need to mince words here, but sometimes when people speak about the difference between like feelings and emotions, like that, you know, water sign energy, for example, is a feeling energy, and fire sign energy is an emotional energy. And like, I guess what that means when people sort of make that separation is that emotions become often are like manifest in the external, and they like will become an action, or they're like, here is my, like, emotions are on display, and feelings, or, you know, whatever you want to, whatever words you want to use, are being processed internally. And so it feels like this Mars retrograde is a moment again to just consider movement on a different scale, on an internal scale. And it's like, what is the attachment to having the feeling become in action in the external world, you know? And it's really like connects, I feel like, to our ideas about our own potency. And it's like, do we only feel potent or powerful when we can make something happen and like see it, like make, you know, like execute a plan or make someone feel a certain way or whatever the thing is? And it's like, there's such a, similar to what we talked about last month or last season with Gemini energy, opening us up to all these modes of perception and communication that we're not, that are beyond verbal. It's almost like this cycle, we're being opened up to all of these flavors of action that are not like happening necessarily linearly. That like, if we could expand the container to think about all of the movements, I mean, even think about like the movements that are happening right now in your body, like if it doesn't freak you out, like think about your organs, you know, not the operation game version, but like, like all of the things that are like moving and flowing internally, you know, within you that don't like, that are evidence of a potency that you don't need to, you don't need evidence right now with Mars stationing retro. Think of what could happen if you didn't need evidence of your power in the external world.
Whoa. That's, I feel like you just blew my mind, Bess. I like that. Yeah. What if during this whole Mars retrograde, I can just think about my digestive tract and be like, see, a lot is happening right now. I don't need it to be externalized.
I feel like I'm really like prepping myself as a Mars in Aries because I'm scared out of my mind for, no, I'm not scared of
Mars. Well, I'm a Mars in Scorpio.
Exactly.
So.
Exactly.
We're both terrified.
We're both actually terrified. And we're trying to find metaphors to.
Yeah.
No.
But it's good for you to know who your astrologers are.
Yeah.
Because then you can look at all of this and take it. And
yeah. We're martial beings.
Yes. We are very martial. So, okay, so thinking about how you're driving your energy out in the world, how your relationships are formed. Mars is a relationship planet. So any retrograde, and maybe we need to backtrack and kind of say what it is we're talking about when we talk about retrograde. I think most of you know, but a retrograde is when a planet apparently looks like it's moving backwards in the sky. It's not actually moving backwards, but the way that we read that energy is that there's a change in the flow of energy, and there's sometimes we have to go back to the past to see what we missed. We are sometimes feeling like we're driving in third gear or in the wrong gear. I actually don't know all the gears, so but we're just driving in a gear that doesn't feel right. So we're still moving forward, but there's a sense of muck and there's a sense of sluggishness. There's anything that has the prefix RE in front of it, like review, rendezvous, reconnect.
Reconnaissance.
Yeah. Those are going to be words that are going to come up that are going to be important to keep in mind when it comes to how you do things out in the world, how your passion is driving forward, how you confront people. What else?
Yeah. I mean, I think... I always think of like retrograde energy in addition to this kind of like reviewing. It's almost like, I love what you're saying about the gear shift, because there's this feeling too. It's like, I always get the visual of like, you're basically, you're having like a slumber party with like the planet's energy, where it's like, it's very nocturnal. You take it inside, you have like a sleepover, and like the way that you're using it, it's like when Mercury stations retro, it's not, You have to like learn how to work with it on an internal plane, on a very private plane. Not like a well, I guess maybe like a private jet plane.
No, the
like,
slumber party is really good. It's like, yeah, it's like, oh, every day we hung out at school together this way, and then now, you sleep over, and I see how you brush your teeth.
Exactly. Like, maybe I put your bra in the freezer, or maybe not.
Yeah.
I mean, but yeah, there's this feeling of like that reviewing happening in a very like private kind of place, and that it can't always be. The energy of the planet is, not that it can always be, but it's being asked to be taken inside, you know, for kind of this meet and greet on a more underworld kind of like nocturnal plane almost.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So on a practical level, I would say expect that the flow of your relationships may be a little bit different, because whenever you're encountering that other person here, you're going to be working through conflicts in a different way. Mm-hmm. You're going to be making decisions and taking actions together in a different way. And I would say in terms of your work and your personal drive, this is a great time to look back at, see if there's something you missed, see if there's some new thing that's not new, but an old thing that's coming back up now.
Yeah.
That's helpful to remember. This isn't a great time for initiating new things.
Yeah, I like the connection. It's making me think of, when I'm thinking of like work, well, both partnership work and like work in the world, to the idea of triumph or the idea of success. You know, if there's this idea embedded in Mars of like glory. I mean, it's the natural ruler of Aries and, you know, traditionally of Scorpio as well. And this like guts, no glory. And this like moment, epic moment of like crossing the finish line, or like, rah, like this like, you know, huge push, like get the thing. And so Mars stationing retrograde is really an opportunity to examine, you know, and review all of the different flavors of success that you've had in your life that might be like almost microscopic to you, or you think of as like, nah, that wasn't, you know, and really inquiring too around your notions of failure, you know, and what that, like what that feels like in your body, where you might have calcified or kind of like created a rigid construct about what constitutes this binary between success and failure, and feeling into kind of those tender spaces of like what it brings up for you to think of like not being able to initiate or not being able to like action in a conscious way during this time, and past moments where maybe you felt powerlessness, or you felt like a decision was made, you know, like at you and not for you, or any of those kind of more tender moments, like working with those during this cycle as well.
That's a really powerful homework assignment. I think if you were to take that one on, you would find that you had a lot more information about how you want to move forward in the future. You would be able to reframe where you felt like, you know, if it was necessary to reframe, you'd be able to tell yourself a new story about like, actually that was successful. And actually now I'm changing my relationship with how I want to drive forward and take risks, because I can see in the past that it was, things worked out that maybe I assumed didn't.
Yeah.
That's cool. I really like that.
I like that connected too to the fact that this is a Mars retro in Aquarius, you know, it's going to enter Capricorn, at some point, Now the date escapes me.
I've got it. Well, actually, I don't know when it enters Capricorn. I'll look it up while you're talking.
Yeah. But this is an energy of radical renovation and electric sort of lightning strike 180s in perception. And so there is this opportunity to really kind of review, you know, those past kind of moments or examinations around success, and really view some of that differently, you know, or be open to new kind of electrified perspectives on that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it enters Capricorn on August 8th. I wanted to say too, thinking about that Mars, that the fact that this, the big portion of this retrograde is in Aquarius and Capricorn, there may be a need to revisit how you wanted to be a revolutionary. If you've had dreams or visions of revolution in the last year or so, maybe you need to check back in with those and see what needs to happen here. What got missed? Where did you say you were going to do something and you made a strong, solemn vow and then didn't follow up on that?
Yeah.
That could be a great assignment too.
Yeah. So we're leading into the second week of this cycle, and we're building toward, you know, Mars stations retrograde on the 26th. And then we have our Capricorn full moon, which marks kind of the midway point of the cycle. And we have Mercury entering Leo the next day. And these two events, it's almost like there's, you know, thinking about this notion of like triumph. And I love what you're saying, Sandy, about you know, where maybe you've slipped or kind of like haven't kept the commitment of, you know, revolutionizing in some way. because the word that I kept thinking of, you know, in conjunction with these two movements, Capricorn full moon and Mercury in Leo, is like kingdom and majesty. You know, both of these are like in some ways like the most regal of the signs, you know, energies, Capricorn and Leo. And it's, you know, it's a little bit of an energy of, you know, in the tarot of like Queen of Swords. It's a little bit of like my kingdom and my commitment and, you know, what have I like committed to bringing into being, or what boundary had I committed to honoring that maybe I've like, you know, maybe I've like let a few, you know, strange creatures slip across the moat since then, or like whatever the visual is. And like, how can I like refortify my kingdom? And it, you know, it connects to this Capricorn Cancer axis, which I always associate with, you know, like the Rolling Stones song, Give Me Shelter, and the concept of shelter more broadly. And like, how can we kind of create safe containers, you know, both in the material world and also to like shelter our emotions. And it feels to me like as much as the full moon is like a celebratory kind of blossoming up and out, usually like there's a very private quality to this moon to kind of check back in with like your sanctuary, your castle, the fortifications, maybe some no's, maybe some boundaries that need some shoring up in order to kind of feel your own majesty and your own kind of like connected to that idea of potency, that there's a potency too in the kind of internal action of building or of kind of refortifying a wall maybe that needs to be fortified.
Yeah, it's funny that you are bringing through all the symbolism, because that's this moon was a big part of my Jenga symbol. Mm. You know, so you think of the Jenga. I'm sorry if you guys don't know what Jenga is. Just look it up on YouTube.
Yeah, like, it's amazing.
Find someone playing Jenga. I hope you know what it is. But if you don't, just look it up. It's fine. So what it looks like is this tower of wooden bricks. And that was like this, a big part of that structuring comes from this moon to me. Yeah. It's like, you've got to build your tower. Now you're going to be making adjustments to your tower. And you're trying to make that tower get higher. And there may be moments here where you're really playing with like the security of things and the stability of things.
Yeah.
This moon, the big deal about this full moon is that the moon is conjunct Saturn. And that conjunction is very, very close. And Saturn has been in Capricorn all of this year. It's been a big part of how we've been working with the structures of our world collectively to see, like, what kind of a government do I want to be creating these structures? You know, like, what are the systems I work with? What are my personal systems? How do I make my money? How do I set boundaries in my relationships? Do I need to draw back, retract a little bit so I can set up better systems for myself that are really going to work for everyone? And so this full moon, you know, it's like I'll try to tie it into your imagery. Like, is the castle sound? Are the protections in place? Is it working for everyone? Mm-hmm. Are we able to bring in enough food and water and shelter? Like, is it supporting the kingdom? You know, like, does it work? If things aren't working, they're going to show up at this full moon.
Yeah.
Like, they're just going to be in your face.
Yeah.
The Jenga tower will fall if it's not set up right.
Right.
So that's okay, because all of this energy is just built and designed so that it's stronger. You're trying to make things stronger. You're trying to make them actually work and function properly.
Yeah. Yeah. And I love this idea of, like, kind of being able to make adjustments, you know, because sometimes we think about Saturnine, you know, Saturn energy is like this kind of hard and fast rule, or like the calcification or the hardening of something. And yet, you know, the earth is always moving, like there's mobility, there's movement, even if it's like the time that it takes to move mountains. And it really, like, this full moon, especially in this tight relationship with Saturn, speaks to kind of like a test of a certain initiation that's going on all month in terms of like basically becoming emotionally self-sufficient. Mm. And Saturn energy and sort of Capricornian narratives always bring up, and like, I'm sorry if you've heard me talk about it before, but it always like relate or fires for me the book and the movie of, you know, Cheryl Strayed's Wild. And there's like this gorgeous, gorgeous passage at the end that, you know, is both in the film and in the book that, you know, I forget the entirety of the passage, but definitely like Google it and it'll likely have you like weeping. But there's a moment where she says, it was enough to know that what I did was true. And it's basically like this moment of total emotional self-sufficiency, you know, where she sort of reclaims like her right to her emotional experience of her life. And so it feels like there can be some feelings of isolation. Usually full moon is like party, you know, like this great celebratory energy, but this is a celebration of our own, you know, solitude with our own ability to sit with our emotional landscape to a certain degree too, and to create a safe container for it and to make adjustments if there's things that don't feel, things in our lives, relationships in our lives that make us feel unsafe to feel our feelings or to create that this is the moment where they're gonna show up, you know.
That was so beautiful. Thank you, Bess. I really liked that.
read the whole passage and just lose yourselves.
Yeah. Yeah, I think the idea of initiation that you presented here, an initiation, like really take that on. Like we could all take that on. Like knowing that something is an initiation, that it's a rite of passage that you can create for yourself. You can create ceremony around it. You can get your friends involved. You can say like, I need to take on sovereignty when it comes to like my emotional process and trust that it's real and true.
Like sovereignty with regard to the emotional process. That's like, it's almost like it feels like this is like a hyper concentrated collective Saturn return that's like happening at the middle of this month, you know, on an emotion, on a very emotional plane with the moon, you know, kind of ruling the emotional landscape. Yeah.
And if we look at everything that's going on, are we surprised?
Yeah. You
know, like, that actually totally makes sense.
Yeah.
Thanks, Capricorn full moon in the middle of the summer. We always rely on you to keep us on track.
Sorry.
So let's see. So then right after that, we do get, as Mercury moves into Leo, it, of course, squares Uranus and Taurus, which is super fun. And I don't know. I don't mind a Mercury square Uranus moment. I think that that can be a very creative and innovative moment where you start to break into new layers of consciousness and things change in the way you're thinking about things really fast. So after this initiation into your emotional truth, all of a sudden your brain kind of like breaks open.
Yeah. No, and I like this. I mean, the relationship too between Leo and Taurus is kind of an interesting one. I mean, these are both fixed energies, stabilizing energies that are sort of concerned with the internal channel. And again, sort of movement that is, there's a stabilizing. So again, we're looking at the theme of like movement and action that's happening on like an internal plane. And, you know, that the Leo Taurus, you know, square puts me in the mind of like, you know, thinking about, at the same time as we're validating our own emotions, like validating the words we use to speak about those and making sure that we're like speaking in a way to ourselves that feels like worthy of this sense of like sovereignty or regalness, or like, you know, really understanding the potency of words, you know, that we use when we're around our own kind of emotional landscape and how we're speaking to ourselves in those moments where feelings are coming up. You know, what are we, what kinds of narratives are coming up in conjunction with that?
So then on July 5th, moving ahead a little bit, we've got Chiron retrograde. But so Chiron retrograde, this is an opportunity to look within and see where you need to heal, see what, again, more healing, more water, more emotion. This is another way of saying the same thing we've been saying already. Take out time for yourself. Be tender with yourself. Be nurturing. Things may get triggered, and you're the one who can help yourself in those situations. And the more that you practice that muscle and that action of helping yourself when you get emotionally triggered, the more that you'll feel confident within that, so that then eventually you can do the wounded healer action of Chiron and help others who are feeling the same thing. Yeah. So this retrograde is a chance for old things to come up from the past that may need your attention in that way. So if you're, you know, going into the season ahead of time with that knowledge, it's really great to have a little post-it note next to your bed that's like, Chiron retrograde is happening July 5th.
Yeah. And this is, you know, an interesting one because it really syncs up with all of the themes that we've been speaking about in terms of willpower, success, failure, all of this kind of like martial energy, because this is a Chiron retrograde in Aries. And it's coupled with an Aries waning moon phase that we have this week as well, or on the 6th. And it's really like, you know, it feels like this sense of kind of checking in a very profound way about past places where we've been wounded or, you know, kind of sensitized spots around our right to be here, you know, and our right to like our birthright to take up space, you know, in this world. And Aries is this kind of, it's this cardinal initiating energy that begins the whole zodiac. And, you know, with a waning moon in Aries and Chiron retro in Aries, this is a little bit of uncomfortable territory for Aries that wants to direct, initiate, you know, phallically penetrate, make a literal mark on the world, dent the world. And so it's a lot of, there's a lot of tenderness coming up during this moment around, you know, where have we felt that we didn't have the right to like exist actually, you know, and where have we lost kind of connection from our basic birthright that we get to be like alive and, you know, having this experience. And, you know, it's also connected to this Cancer theme of like belonging. I always think about Cancer as like belonging, whether it's like belonging to a family unit or to, you know, a small kind of intimate circle of trusted individuals, but first and foremost belonging to ourselves and kind of reaffirming our commitment to be there for ourselves. And so there's like, I feel like there's really profound healing energy available the beginning of this Chiron retro cycle to kind of re-up your commitment to your like right to be in the world. I mean, on a very like literal level, and to feel into any spots where someone has like challenged that or made you feel small, or kind of it's a shape-shifty energy of assessing how much space you've been allowing yourself to take up in your own life.
So profound. It's interesting that this is a waning moon, because you can bring in the concept of cleansing is what I want to say. Cleansing and letting go and washing away. This is, in a way, this is kind of like winter energy, although we're in the middle of the summer. You can let go of those old, if there's an old core belief, which is a really common core belief, actually, I don't deserve to be alive. It's a really common core belief. And most people are surprised to hear that someone else could have that too, because it's very isolating, kind of lonely feeling. Like, no, I'm the one who doesn't deserve to be alive. And so taking, you know, cleansing yourself and repairing the pathway in your mind that had believed that, this is really powerful and potent.
Yeah, and it can come up in all sorts of, you might think like, well, I deserve to be alive. I've never held that belief. But it can come up in all sorts of like insidious kind of like little kind of creepy ways of, you know, whether it's like the way you're physically holding your body in certain circumstances, or the way that you're able to walk down the street, like literally taking up space in a particular way, giving yourself the right to take up space in a conversation, or to assert, you know, again, getting back to that no, the nose of the Capricorn full moon, assert a no or assert an edge. I mean, there's all sorts of ways in which this might manifest. So just sort of feeling into that that sense of any tenderness that you felt around your right to aliveness.
Yeah, it's so beautiful. So then we're moving into, well, the next big thing is that Venus moves into Virgo. Ooh. On July 9th.
Woo-hoo. Your Venus return.
Yeah, it's my Venus return. It's my Venus birthday, kind of, not really, but
yeah. Yeah.
I'll feel nice and cozy in the Virg zone.
In the Virg zone. Yeah, this energy, actually, I want to, before I like go into my take on it. I want to hear, you know, as a Venus in Virgo, like, what is this kind of sparking for you in terms of this transit? Well,
this will be an interesting... The first thing that comes into my mind is how to be believing that the world is already perfect. Like, yes. That the beauty that exists is already perfect. There's nothing... That, yes, it's fun to do things to improve that perfection, and that's a form of creativity, is just add your little mark everywhere, but that nothing needs to be done.
Yeah.
And so there's a kind of calmness that could be accessible for this phase, a kind of calmness of noticing the beauty of a plant or a flower in the full bloom of summer, you know, like, and really admiring the perfection that exists and doing fun things to help that happen. Tending to the garden, but not clenching up in a sense of like, oh my God, my apartment's so messy and I'm so hot and things aren't feeling perfect. My body feels crunchy or whatever the other side of that can be for us little Venus and Virgos.
Yeah. I love what you're saying about this, like things already being like perfect in their imperfection, in their aliveness, in their fluidity. And it puts me It connects in my mind with, you know, the tarot card that's sort of traditionally ruled by Venus in Virgo, which is the Nine of Pentacles or the Nine of Crystals. And in the Rider-Waite, I forget the bird that's on her hand. Maybe it's like a falcon or a hawk. I think it's a falcon. It's a visual of this woman sort of holding this bird that's kind of perched on her hand. And around her, there's all this kind of different alive plant life and animals. And it's the whole range of it. Like, there's some beautiful, like, beautiful, quote unquote, plants, but there's also like snails and like bugs. And, you know, and then the falcon is resting on her hand. And we realize in the card that there's this kind of like relationship between knowing our aliveness and knowing our passionate ability to make things happen. And also she's not constraining the bird. Like, the bird is resting of its free will in her hand. So it gets to sort of like choose whether it rests there or not. And it feels like this energy, you know, connected to Virgo, where on the one hand, you know, Virgo is an operator in a sense. It's like sifting and kind of sorting and refining, and there's an action in it, but there's also a grand sense of allowing. It's another mutable sign that sort of rises to adapt to the moment. So I feel like it connects so nicely to this idea of like the you were already like perfect in all of your, you know, kind of fluid, messy imperfection. And this sense of like, there can be like a real glory and a sense of like self-acceptance in that way. And also a sense of like, not taming our passions, but working with this Mars retro energy again, supported by Venus and Virgo, to say like, I'm just going to sort of allow, you know, like whatever is going to come to rest in my hand, I'm going to regard it with like curiosity and interest and look upon it as a thing of beauty, but I don't need to clench my hand around it or force it to fly or force it to stay. So I feel like it's almost like a, you know, a next level kind of learning around this energy of willpower.
Yeah. I love that you reminded me of that card, because once you explained to me that that was the Venus and Virgo card, and I just was so fascinated by it. And it was, the imagery was really informative for me on a lot of levels. And one of the things I really pulled from that card is the elegance that she has. As she stands there, there's like a gracefulness, and she's fancy.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And she's not holding the bird. Like, as you said, the bird is resting there, which is a wild thing.
Yeah.
You know? And yet there's this total picture of grace and beauty. And so it's this moment of being in the aliveness, which is so changeable and uncontrollable, and knowing that you're also an actor, as you said, wanting to change things and improve them and refine them and make everything better. But there's this kind of overwhelming grace and elegance to the whole experience.
Yeah. God, I feel like I kind of fetishize like Virgo. I'm like obsessed with Virgo energy. and the Nine of Pentacles is like one of my favorite cards. But yeah, so right the next day, we also have Jupiter on the 10th stationing direct in Scorpio. And it feels like there's also kind of like again, it's another shade of like this willpower energy, because we've got Scorpio, this very driving, you know, kind of intensely forceful energy, coupled with the expansion of Jupiter, which is a mover and shaker for sure. But it's almost like, I don't know, it almost feels like the direct station of Jupiter is, again, it's like this moment to just sort of like almost like know where we can kind of like let the things, like returning to that initial image of things just sort of drifting out to sea, like the release and the kind of like forgiveness and all the crunchies and all the kind of darkness is just sort of like there's a wider plane where it can run free, like suddenly. And this happens, you know, Jupiter in Scorpio definitely speaks to the intensity of interpersonal relationships and like healing that can be activated there, and kind of a wider, just like a blowing your own mind of like what you thought you could forgive yourself for other people for, and that there's like, there's just sort of a wide open territory where all your like beasties can like roam, you know. It's like, it's not a zoo, it's like a pampas, or like a, you know, like some very wide open field.
I love your imagery. Yeah, Jupiter going direct now in Scorpio for this final run. Yeah. This final run as it powers forward. We're going to get to, you know, and then we've still got Mars retrograde, and Venus is going to go retrograde in the fall. But this could be an opportunity here to say, how do I want to relate with you? How do I want to, like, be in a couple with you? I'm not saying only like couples, you know, people who are in any kind of one-on-one partnership here. Because yeah. Scorpio to me, I really read Scorpio as like about intimacy building. And so as you're saying here, we get this big expansion in that realm. And it might be kind of slow and sluggish right around that day. I'm not saying it's like just a huge turnaround or anything. But what came up while Jupiter was in Scorpio, I wonder, I mean, I'm kind of rambling a little bit here, but as you were talking, I was thinking, I wonder if we'll see some new layers of the Me Too movement come out. Mm. Like, if there will be some new clues and new kind of revealings after Jupiter moves direct.
Yeah.
Some new, like, expansions there could be really interesting, where we see more of the stuff that was hidden coming out.
Yeah, this is definitely headlamps into the shadows.
You know, ooh, I like that.
Kinds of energy, yeah. For sure.
Yeah. And then, drum roll, please. Solar eclipse, new moon.
Woo!
Happening.
Yeah.
20 degrees of Cancer, new moon. And this is the first of our, I mean, this is the beginning of eclipse season here. And so we've got a powerful moment in time. And the last time we had Cancer Capricorn eclipses was in the year 2000. Mm. So you can think back to then to kind of see the summer of the year 2000, what was going on. Then we actually have three eclipses this summer. So those next two eclipses will be Leo Aquarius eclipses, and we'll be back to finish up what we've been doing for the last year of Leo Aquarius eclipses. But here we get a little preview into what these Cancer Capricorn eclipses are going to be like. Fun.
Yeah.
So you can look back if you want to. You know, an eclipse is a reset. It's like you turn the lights off, and when you turn them back on again, people may be sitting in different places in the room. Furniture's moved around. Like, things are a little bit different, but it doesn't have to be a change like that. That's one way of describing it. I also like to describe it like the internet, you know, when your internet stops working and you're like, oh my God, the internet's not working. And then someone says to you, unplug the router. And then you say, okay, and you unplug the router and the power's out for a minute. And it clears the code that accumulated, and then you plug it back in and your internet works. And it's like, I think sometimes the eclipse can feel like that too. So you get to look back if you feel like it, if you're like really curious, like, what's this eclipse going to do for me? You can look back to this 2018, April 9th, 10th, and 11th, and also and or April 24th and 25th, and see what was going on those days, because that was a precursor to this eclipse. That was when the Sun and Mars transited over 20 degrees Cancer. So check it out. See what was going on. See if you can tie a thread together in your life to what might be going on in July here.
Yeah, this feels, it feels to me like, you know, if we've been thinking about this kind of notion of like protection and exposure and like validating our own feeling landscape first and foremost, that there's a kind of freshness. It's almost like when I looked at the Cancer new moon energy, it almost felt to me like a little heart-shaped locket or some sort of like, you know, where it's like, you know, there's an opening now to, we've done all this intense work around, you know, and it's still, it's eclipse energy. So it's, you know, it's a different kind of flavor to a new moon. And I love the visual of like the furniture and all the people moving. It puts me in the mind of like a murder mystery, like dinner party or like something like of that nature. But there's a little bit of an opportunity here to just, you know, see if there's a little bit of emotional exposure that might be cultivated in this moment. You know, you've done all this intense work around tending to your own tenderness, incubating your own feelings, deciding, kind of shoring up some boundaries. And is there an opening here to sport some of that softness a little more on your sleeve? You know, it's not full flare, you know, but, and Venus is now in Virgo, it's left Leo. So we're not talking like total kind of like hard on sleeve energy, but you know, maybe it's just beginning to share that, you know, share kind of a new insight or a new mode of emotional operation with someone who's closest to you or something that's been revealed during this cycle for you. And starting to kind of like figure out, you know, also it feels to me like kind of a refinement of the way in which we share our feelings, because there can be this feeling sometimes with Cancer energy gone rogue or gone awry. I don't want to say like gone bad, because it's not, mm-hmm. you know, that it's bad or good, but where my feelings become either take up all the space in the room, or I'm demanding something out of you with my feeling. Like my feeling exists like this, so you have to do this about it, or you have to hold this feeling, or, you know, and that's where Capricorn energy comes in and creates, you know, a healthy boundary. And so it almost feels like we're really like, it's like heart chakra, you know, 101 or graduation from heart chakra school, where it's like, just notice where you are along that polarity of either excessively manifesting heart chakra energy, or what we might call deficiently, or like less, you know, or keeping it, you know, because it's almost like evidence of the same thing. Sometimes when we're like dumping our feelings all over a person or we're withholding our feelings from another person, it's both of those things are not in kind of equilibrium or in the kind of respectful, like, both respecting our own internal content and how it's going to kind of collide with another person. So, you know, if that's making sense, just sort of checking in with a way that you can kind of bring some of these feelings up and out in a way that feels respectful of your process and also like mindful of how your feelings kind of exist in the world and the effect that they have over external landscapes in your world and relationships.
Yeah, that's really good that you're talking about it this way, because the Sun and Moon are also opposite Pluto here. So it's important to be tender with yourself, take care of yourself, but yeah, do be wary of overrun.
Yeah, spillage.
Yeah, and this can be intense. This is intense. It's all intense. It's intense for everyone. Keep that in mind. Yeah. It's not just you having an intense time. It's everyone. So when I made up that Jenga image, this part of it, the full moon was kind of like, okay, the structure of the Jenga tower. The new moon here is kind of like the fall of the tower. Mm-hmm. Like the Pluto influence is the fall. And the fall is fun in the game. Like, it's fun. It doesn't have to, I'm not saying this has to be like your fall.
Yeah.
I'm just saying like we let go and we move on and we do another game, and it's all okay It's all about the way you are contextualizing it for yourself.
Yeah.
So, yay!
Yeah. And then we're bringing ourselves on home with the final kind of phase of this Cancer season with a waxing moon in Libra as we kind of prep to enter Leo season.
Mm-hmm.
And as a moon in Libra herself, we've got a live one in the studio audience. What is a Libra waxing moon's kind of energy feel like to you in the context of everything we've been through?
Well, here we've had so much cardinal energy, right? And then a waxing moon to me feels like that, it's that driving forward. So maybe here at the end you get this idea, well, there's a conflict because you might get this idea of like, I'm on the charge, I'm on the go, I can make everything make sense now. And I'm gonna start initiating now. I forgot that you'll say to yourself, I don't remember that Mars is retrograde and that they told me not to initiate anything new. No. You'll say, no, I'm gonna start all these new projects, it's gonna be great. And I'll bring on board all these other people and I'll like partner up with, you know, it's going to be so fun to talk and collaborate. And that's true. It is fun. It's just helpful to remember at this waxing moon that Mars is conjunct the South Node right around the same time. So this is again, another way of saying like, yes, you're wanting to move forward, but you still have to review the past and where you came from. There is maybe a kind of regression at play. And so if you can be tenderly aware of that, it's going to help you see how to drive your energy forward later on.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's not like we're saying, and, you know, certainly like we're not prescriptively like, you can't, like during such and such a phase, you can't do this or you should do this. But just that there's like, there's almost like, there's an opportunity for really kind of like aligned, like soul lubricated action of a very specific flavor that comes from a very deep internal channel that isn't like just sort of this kind of like firing off and like responsive reactive, like choo, choo, choo. It's part of the flavor of, not that you can't do anything or you just have to like hibernate for the whole of the entirety of Mars retro. But that there's an opportunity for like refinement and calibration. I mean, Libra is an energy that we always think of in conjunction with considering diverse perspectives or considering the other end of the polarity and responsiveness. I mean, I feel like it kind of syncs up well with some of the culmination of the Cancer new moon eclipse energy too, in terms of like, you know, how are my actions in the world like affecting the world, you know, and what is kind of the reciprocal, what is the dance, like what is the sort of like the partnership kind of tango that's going on. And it's literally like a ballroom dance of like, you know, being kind of responsive to the partner, and the partner could be the energy of your workplace or a romantic partner or just sort of the universal kind of like feeling tone, but being both making movements that feel correct in your body, you know, but also sort of like responding to the pressure of the partner that's kind of like pushed up against you in that dance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now that you're talking about it that way, it's making me think that, because this is a waxing moon, it's in Libra. You've also got Mars conjunct the South Node. Like, what about really getting together and sharing some great social time with like a couple of friends and just like reviewing where you came from, your past, like have it be, it is still summer and like this would be just a really fun time to connect.
Yeah. And bear witness to each other's processes and passages. And if we think, you know, of this energy of really initiating, you know, or re-welcoming yourself back into your kingdom, you know, this season, you know, bear witness to with people that have shared the passage of time with you, you know, and because this, there's, you know, obviously a lot of intense emotionalism that's coming up this season and a lot for review, and can be really powerful to kind of undergo this rite of passage with some people alongside you who are able to like celebrate the, you know, all of these phases and moments of your life thus far. So is there anything you want to kind of close out with in terms of an overview of this season, well, or final week energies?
What you just said, I think, is a great close in the sense of celebration.
Yeah.
Like, so there's so many opportunities here for trying to build up the structure, feel all your feelings, transform, let it all go. Like, all the stuff we just said is kind of heavy in a way. Not all of it. There's nuance. But the celebration of this entire process would be so beautiful, because Cancer season is really about this divine fertility and this divine nurturance of life. And like your feelings and being in the flow. And it is a big round celebration. Like, it's a big, juicy love fest.
Yeah. And I always think of it. I mean, I always think of just Cancer energy broadly. And it feels particularly potent with the season's energies of, you know, and it's not like you literally have to do this. But think of the energy if you've ever been like midnight skinny dipping, like alone, you know, and this can also be with like, you know, close comp. Obviously we're talking about celebratory energy, but that feeling of like really slipping into your own skin, washing onto your own shore, whatever the visual is for you, because there is an opportunity as this season closes out for a kind of homecoming, you know, and it's going to be, obviously the shoreline is going to look different than where you, you know, like, but also to tap into the kinds of things that have abided or existed with you, like through all of these kinds of like tidal cycles or whatever those are, the kinds of, you know, because Cancer is this, it's this birthing process, and obviously it's always happening anew, but you know, there's still sort of elements of our emotional body that are consistent through time, and it can be really juicy and sweet to kind of slip into those and celebrate them as well.
A celebration. So find us, our podcast, the Numinous Astrocast, on iTunes and subscribe.
If you like it and you feel so inclined to share it, you know, we'd love that. And if you feel inclined and inspired to leave a review or to rate it, that would be lovely as well. And we'll return for a Leonine Glitter Fest next season.
And the website is thenuminous.com.